Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Welcome in on a Friday. Good morning, Jim Costa with Stoney today in for John Jansen.
What's happening, folks?
Welcome back. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
Got Heather Park and we've got Greg behind the glass. Gov with the day off as well.
Love the Greg sweatshirt. We're both wearing cool college hoodies, I think.
You got the dogs.
I got my Georgia. He's got his Oregon. Red versus green. It's nice. Some good stuff.
Did Luke classing it up with a flannel for the update?
He took it from the Jansen collection.
Yes.
Which I have about 7 of them in my closet. I never wore flannel until I met John Jansen.
As you say, should I expect the longer I work with him, the more the closet will start to look like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has that effect on you.
Yes, exactly.
Last night, for those that stayed up late, you were treated to a Red Wing win, yet another comeback win, and this time against the Edmonton Oilers in a shootout, Stoney.
Yes, I was one of I was transfixed by the game because it was the first period. I had it on my phone, and my wife and I were watching something else, and they were down 2-0, and then I go to bed and have the TV on and upstairs in the bed, and they scored 2 goals. I'll just fall asleep with the game on. I never fell asleep. They really played well. Alex Lyon was spectacular. And they come back, you know, Rasmussen scores, Raymond scores. And in overtime, they really blew. And that Lyon was really good. 3-on-3 when you have great skilled players. You know, obviously Raymond, DeBrincat, Larkin, even Sider. But McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard and Hyman, and Hyman gets they got a penalty, and the Wings had a power play in overtime, and they couldn't score, and they come back shorthanded, and Lyon makes a terrific save, and then they go to the shootout, and Lyon stones McDavid right from the get-go, and then the Wings scored twice, and Lyon made the other stop, and Larkin's goal gave him the win after 2 rounds.
Nice and tidy.
Yeah, it was not.
Lyon saved what, 45 shots.
Yes.
So just to give people, again, if you're getting up now and you didn't stay up for it, 45 saves for Dylan for Alex Lyon, and Dylan Larkin gets the game winning goal. Stoney, this isn't a hot coach bump anymore, right?
No, they're playing much better. I went the other night, and even though they were down 2-0, they came back, and it's not even the new coach bump. But I have, you know, come clean here. I used to think, oh, you know, it's just the roster. It's just the roster. It's not just Lalonde. I didn't think he was doing a good job, obviously, but there's more to it than that. Maybe there's not. They just needed a change and playing inspired hockey. And guys that really weren't doing much, not the names that you all know, guys like, you know, Johansson, who are playing really good.
Very
even
well.
Gustafson's played better.
I mean, noticeably.
People like that, and you know, the Schein story is cool and all that, but and they're forechecking a little bit more, actually a lot more. They're finishing checks. The goaltending, for the most part, has been really good. They don't make those stupid-ass mistakes where they're not giving up as many easy goals either. So
well, look at it. On this four-game win streak, they've given up two or fewer in every single one of them. I was going to ask you, besides McClellan, what's the biggest reason things have turned around? I think it's empowering some of these younger players. Casper's
yes.
on the top line.
Casper's really good.
Johansson and Edvinson are playing together in a top
pairing.
Top pairing, yeah. I mean, they're in that second slot. He's empowered these young guys. Berggren has a little more juice to him lately, right? He scored, well, it was Rasmussen on the tip, but he's putting pucks on net. It feels like they've empowered the younger players, and that's what sustains. If those guys,
right.
Raymond has gone to another level. It feels like if those guys sustain this next gear, then it's not just him as a coach, it's the players leading the way, which is what you've always wanted to begin with.
And I'll tell you something else. I mean, I don't want to, you know, bury his career. They're playing, I don't know, look, he was healthy when they started to turn around too, but they've played a lot better since Kane's gotten hurt. To a certain extent.
And since Petrie's gotten hurt.
Yeah, but
if he doesn't come back, I'd be just fine.
Oh, I would too, but he wasn't even the worst culprit. It was like Hall, and he hasn't been playing.
Yeah. Well, Hall's been playing a little bit with Gustafson on the third.
Yeah.
Petrie's so frustrating.
I know.
Kane, yes, Kane's been out, but they went on the 7-game win streak with Kane.
Right, I know. That's why.
Yeah. Know. It's, and they're going to need Kane if they're going to make the playoffs. Petrie,
no.
Go relive 84 with your father. I don't need to see you on the ice anymore.
No, I think we don't even know if it's a real injury or not.
Yeah, again, don't need to see him.
No.
So it doesn't really matter to me. He didn't make the trip out west, Petrie.
Correct.
Didn't. I know Kane did, right? So he may play at some point.
And so
on
did Compher.
Yes, and Tarasenko was back in the lineup last night. So they're getting some of these guys in.
Yeah. Tarasenko, still, I mean, he's a little better since McClellan, but not much.
No. The guys who have gotten the biggest lift are the young players,
yes.
Which is the thing that's going to make them better this year, next year, and beyond. Are you thinking playoffs?
You have to think playoffs. I mean, you just look at the math. I mean, they have 55 points. They are 1 point behind Boston, who is the second wild card, if I'm reading it correctly.
I believe so.
Now,
yeah.
Columbus is tied with the Red Wings. They have one game in hand on the Red Wings. The Red Wings do have two games in hand on Boston. Tampa's at 57. Ottawa, who's the third team in our division, has 58. You know, the Wings could keep going on a little streak here, and boom, the next thing you know, they're third in the division. You never know. However, conversely, the other things going on. The Islanders won their sixth straight last night.
Yep, 8 of 10.
Yeah, and they're right behind them. The Rangers have been playing better.
Yep.
So, like, in a week's, you know, I don't know if you want to, you know, chart this, but every week, those standings are going to be a lot different than they are when the week starts.
Yeah, as of the last 10 games, I think the Wings had picked up 13 points before last night, and
right.
Everybody else in the mix had also picked up, like, 12 and 14.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of upped their game, and it's going to be a race. But you control what you can control, and
right,
if the
exactly.
Wings keep winning games, I don't think Ottawa's going to hang on, right? And I look at Tampa's kind of leveling off right now. They'll probably be a playoff team. The Bruins, how many years until
right.
it drops off for
yes.
them? This could be the year they drop off.
Right. I mean, Philly made a trade with Calgary last night. If they get hot, which I don't think they will, because I don't think they're that good. There's a lot of teams in there. It's going to be
It's going to be like last year.
I just hope the ending's a little better.
Well, and how much of last year's collapse did we put on Derek Lalonde?
Well, so yeah, when they lost 7 in a row, including, you know, those back-to-back, well, not back-to-back, but they lost to Phoenix twice
Coyote
in like
games.
A week. Yeah. So
And Lalonde's message to the team of like, well, we're just kind of lucky to be here.
Right.
McClellan doesn't view it that way.
No.
I actually loved when he took over how he addressed this team.
Yeah, just play freaking hockey.
Yeah. Play freaking hockey. Don't overthink this. Play loose, guys. Come on. You played hockey your whole life. It's
right.
going to be all right. And one other thing I took out of his opening press conference is he was asked about Dylan Larkin. And he's like, boy, this guy's wearing it. I mean, after all these losses, he feels the weight of the losing, the drought. He's wearing the C. He grew up here.
coming out and speaking to the media like after every game.
And it's like, a guy looks like his pet died every single night. And how can we take some pressure off this guy? Now, I mean, his line is great. Raymond and Casper, they've gotten some secondary scoring. He looks renewed. He looks like he's alive again.
It's funny you mentioned Kopp. I even said this to Burchie at the game the other night, the Kings game. Kopp's gotten a lot better.
Sneaky.
Yes.
He's still
he's not worth the deal. I get all that. So,
but he stabilized the line.
Don't go buy your Kopp jerseys or anything like that. But
in a perfect world, he's your third or fourth center.
Right.
He's still their second center.
Correct.
But he's been, he's not been a problem, put it that way.
No, but it's, it's nice to think playoffs in this time of year. I mean, it is, January 30th, February starts tomorrow. The trading deadline for hockey is a month ahead of where the Pistons are, where this time next week you guys are going to probably be talking to Trajan and trying to figure out what the hell happened, good or bad.
Yeah, and I think the Pistons are set up really well. The question is going to be, what does Yzerman do at the deadline? But it sneaks up before you know it because they have the two-week break for the frozen...
The Four Nations.
Yeah, Four Nations face-off.
Which I can't wait to see.
It's going to be great. But the Wings will play three out west, then they'll play Tampa, and then they go away for 2 weeks. And then before you know it, you're going to be going, we got a handful of games, and then it's the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So it'll sneak up on the Wings here, too. We're going to talk about all these teams because they're all kind of in a unique position. Mm-hmm. Pistons, Red Wings, and even the Tigers. Positions where, hey, go buy. Make a move. Who needs to make that move the most?
Well, what do you think of the reliever move?
I like him.
Yeah.
Canely.
He's good. I mean, he walks too many guys, but
But you get swing and miss and you keep the ball down and ERA is low. You limit the damage.
Good 1 year deal.
Well, then they're all 1 year deals.
I know, but that's okay for guys who aren't, great or in their prime. We need to get somebody who's going to be here for 4 or 5 years.
Are there guys out there? Are there any options? Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Hey, Kate Cunningham named NBA All-Star. First Piston since Blake Griffin. First Piston guard since Allen Iverson.
Yeah. The Allen Iverson era was just so wonderful. Just ask the people at the casinos.
6:35, we'll get to Cade named All-Star. Coming up next, the latest Lions coaching staff move. A blast from the past. Do you approve? It's 97.1.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I've watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That was a big win last night because you're beating a team that many people think are going to win the Stanley Cup.
Think about it. They beat the Panthers recently, and they beat the team that was in the Cup last year.
Both on the road.
Both on the road. Wings have played inspired hockey since Todd McClellan, and I think we can just stop saying since Todd McClellan. They're just playing flat-out inspired hockey at this point. It's been over a month. This is who they are. They're a team on the rise. They're a team in the hunt, and a ticket texter says, yes, they're going to the playoffs, Stoney. I said, are you thinking playoffs? He says, yes. And they're winning a series or two. McClellan will not let them go backwards. He gets A-plus in every facet of the game. Look for help at the deadline.
Yeah, we'll discuss how much help both these teams should realistically go after.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always think it's different in hockey.
Why?
Because in hockey, you can be a 7 or an 8 seed and win the Stanley Cup. In basketball, you have no chance.
In basketball?
Basketball, yeah. In basketball, the NBA.
And they made a movie about it. I don't know what the playoffs look like in basketball today.
I know.
Stoney, putting it another way, it's the most just-get-in playoff format.
Right, exactly. Although, you know, baseball has gotten that way lately, too. Although now, with the Dodgers spending what they're spending, I don't know if that's going to be the way it is anyway. But yes, hockey, anything can happen. It used to be just the hot goalie. It's more than that. It's just the teams, even at the bottom, are they're all pretty good. And you know.
So the Dare to Dream example is the Blues.
Yes.
Right, who fired a coach and were awful in January and then ended up going on to win the Stanley Cup. I'm certainly not proclaiming that today.
Right.
But yes, the playoffs are very real for this hockey team. They're very real before the season. And Derek Lalonde wasn't the coach as long. We may be talking about it with more confidence.
Maybe. You never know.
Maybe. We're going to get to Cade Cunningham, who is now an NBA All-Star. We'll do that at 6:35. Concerned he would have been snubbed. He's there. Stoney, David Shaw has been brought in to be the passing game coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Your response?
Well, my first reaction, without doing a deep dive, a medium dive, was, really? David Shaw? Stanford? You know, they lost to Michigan State in a Rose Bowl. He took over for Harbaugh. I kind of thought they were pretty boring, especially that team. But when you do the deeper dive, he wasn't before he became the head coach, he was their offensive coordinator, basically. And, when Andrew Luck was there, he had some good quarterbacks who was there. And, you know, as we're finding out a lot with Dan Campbell and with other coaches around the league, it's familiarity. He worked with John Morton in Oakland. He worked with him this past year in Denver. Now John Morton's the offensive coordinator. So it's almost like a natural fit. It's kind of weird because David Shaw was always one of those guys who people said, and I know he took interviews, to be a head coach in the NFL. And when, like, the Michigan State job opened, he's like, you know, why wouldn't David Shaw be a really good candidate? Local roots. You know, his father, Willie, played for the Lions. He grew up here a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's a decent hire. But we're not even talking coordinators. We're talking, you know.
Yeah, how much actual influence will he have? I mean, clearly, passing game coordinator, he's going to have input.
Right.
But it's John Morton's offense. And
yes.
It's Dan Campbell's offense more than that, even.
Yes.
So his reputation is really conservative.
Yeah.
But don't we kind of want the Lions to kind of get back to just, hey, you overpower teams. If you want to play an extra tight end, if you want to run the football a couple extra times, we're certainly not going to complain.
Right.
A few less times, the Goff's got to drop back in the pocket. As great as he is, you don't want him dropping back 40, 45, 50 times like he did a couple times this season. Sure, yeah, a little more conservative. I'm not mad at that.
Coach Shaw, what do you feel about 3rd and 1 going empty?
Probably makes his skin crawl if you look at those Stanford teams.
Right.
So, to me, it's not a huge reaction one way or another. But, yeah, if they're going to bring a little more physicality, a little more play it safe, just simply be better,
yeah,
I'm cool with that.
The one interesting thing.
More efficient? Yeah, go for
it. Is what people seem to think the players used to love about this coaching staff was that they had guys who played in the league. Okay, these guys didn't.
But they're replacing guys who also didn't, right?
Well,
Morton's replacing Ben Johnson, who didn't play in the league, and Shaw's replacing Tanner Engstrand, who didn't play in the league.
True. Yeah, right. So we'll see who the wide receivers coach is going to be to replace
Randall L. Yeah, because they promote from within.
Yeah. You're right, because I don't think the defensive line coach, who's now the defensive coordinator in New England, Williams, I don't know if he played in the league, Casey Rogers is his name, the guy who's taking his place. I'm not sure. I think he played. But anyway, yeah, you know, but that was always, you know, they got Randall Elliott. They had first year. Brunell, they used to have Deuce Staley, you know, people like that. Aaron Glenn played in the league. So it's it's interesting.
Casey Rogers briefly played.
Right,
he was with, I think, Steelers practice squad. Oh. I mean, so he's
But he's highly respected.
Yeah, super highly respected.
Yeah, and so is David Shaw. Yes. I'm not saying this is a bad move.
No.
At all. It's just the first reaction was, you mentioned the C word, conservative. And that's not so bad.
248-539-9797. We are going to get to Cade's All-Star berth, his first All-Star game, first of many in his career. We'll do that at 6:35. Stoney wants to go into a wellness check with Lions fans. Your first time hosting since
yes.
the post-game, that faithful
Saturday
was, night.
It was a nice 2 hours.
We're going to get back into it 6:50. Let's get to Heather's news.
All right, so the National Transportation Safety Board has vowed to find the cause of that awful, tragic crash that killed 67 people. A spokesperson assured the American public that it will leave no stone unturned in this investigation. On Thursday night, it was confirmed that the black box was found. So they do have the cockpit voice recorder, the flight data recorder from the plane. Those were recovered. They're currently at the lab for evaluations. At this point, it is too early. It's too soon to know exactly what happened, whether human error occurred or whether there were other factors at play. The agency hopes to have a preliminary report ready within 30 days. Now, it's also being reported that the control tower staffing at the airport, at Reagan National Airport, was not normal for the time of day and volume of traffic. They say there was a controller that had to do double duty, basically directing both airplanes and helicopters in the area. So that is also in the report. It's just tragic. So far, more than 40 bodies have been recovered from the Potomac River. The last time the U.S. had a major commercial plane crash was back in 2009, where 50 people were killed in a plane that crashed outside of Buffalo, New York.
I was in Washington when they had the Air Florida crash in the early 80s, where the flight hit the 14th Street Bridge and went into the Potomac, and that was just... as devastating. Well, that mm-hmm. was a bigger plane, if yeah. I'm not mistaken.
We're learning more about the victims that were all on this plane. You know, and when you can start putting, for me anyway, when I can start putting faces to the names, like mm-hmm. now they're releasing all these pictures and their loved ones are talking about it. It makes it more real because I can see these individuals. I can see what they look like. And I can see like videos of these little performers just performing at their ice skating, whatever you call it, a meet competition.
And it's such a tight community. I mean, imagine, God forbid, if it happened, there's a Detroit Skating Club, mm-hmm. very familiar,
yeah.
similar to what the Boston.
Yeah.
And I saw Nancy Kerrigan
show up
because she skated there and she was obviously very emotional and distraught. And mm-hmm. it's awful.
It's
absolutely
so sad.
Awful.
Yep. Officials have released some major updates in the case of Ashley Elkins. So DNA tests came back from, I guess, the dumpster at the apartment of her ex-boyfriend's house, DeAndre Booker. And as a result, murder charges are expected to be filed today. So we know the story. She disappeared back on January 2nd after texting her family that she was going out to run errands, and then she was never seen again. Her phone last pinged at her ex-boyfriend's apartment. Police found clues in a dumpster there that indicated she was most likely killed, led police to that search for days at the landfill in Lenox Township. That came up empty-handed. So whatever this DNA found, obviously, pretty shocking. So he has already been arrested. He was charged with lying to police. But like I said, more charges to come expected today. Happy news. A 26-year-old Oakland County woman is a millionaire after her dad just decided to gift her a lottery ticket. Just because, hey, I wanted to get you a little something nice. So she won $4 million
Very
on this
nice.
Scratch-off lottery ticket. She said, you know, she was surprised when her dad got her the ticket, thought, well, this is nice, scratched it off, and then was in complete shock, started screaming, started crying. She has already claimed her prize. She took the one-time lump sum payout of $2.7 million. She says she plans to save her winnings. No word on how much she gave her dad. But I'm sure she's giving him something.
Oh, she better.
You have to, right? You have to. Raising Cane's is opening its first Metro Detroit location on Tuesday, and there's going to be a big celebration. So it's going to be located in Canton on Ford Road, and the grand opening celebration is going to include Detroit Lions punter Jack Fox. So this is only the second Raising Cane's location in Michigan. The first one is in Lansing. But you want to get there early. They're going to give away free food for a year for lucky 20. I'm guessing the first 20 people in the door. There's going to be giveaways, complimentary coffee, so much more. And he's going to be there, Fox. He's going to do the ribbon cutting ceremony. And then he's going to serve customers at the drive-thru and you know, sign posters and whole big shindig.
Have you ever been?
No, why would I?
Me
go?
Neither.
No,
I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
What do I want there?
Because
I don't know.
Ford Road, there's
fries,
not enough
maybe?
Fast.
Like, you love potatoes.
Get I do. I got fries.
There's not enough places like that on Ford Road.
And that is Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Wings pick up a win on the road, got down 2-0, come back against a very good Edmonton Oilers team with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yet it's Dylan Larkin with the game winner in the shootout. Also won 24 faceoffs. Wings dig out from under that 2-goal deficit and win yet another hockey game. Let the good times roll. It's contagious right now. Cade Cunningham named All-Star. Pistons don't get snubbed.
No, not at all.
Did you have any concern Cade would be snubbed?
I really thought he was going to get in, but if there are certain people who, if they got in, I would have understood it.
So the guys that were left out are Trae Young, LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Maxey,
mm-hmm.
and maybe, if you want to consider Zach LaVine, a guard, shooting guard, whatever, you know, positionless basketball. But okay, deserved it. I mean, you know, rounding off 25, 9, you know, and 6. I mean, Maxey, you know, I think he's like fourth leading scorer, 27, 6, you know, and 5. Ball, who's hurt right now, but I don't think I might have something to do with it. LaMelo Ball is having an unbelievable season. I mean, he's averaging 28 points a game, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. And he's just one of 11 players ever, as of now, to average 28, 5, and 7 in a single season. And the rest of that list is all Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers like Luka, Jokic, James, meaning LeBron James, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. By the way, speaking of James Harden, sneaky that he got in. He's having a really good year. Give him some credit for the first time in his life.
Sure.
Yeah, the Clippers are a big surprise team.
Yeah. I kind of expected Cade to be snubbed.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I totally think he deserves to be there, yeah. Which is why it would be a snub, but I just am not used to this, right? We don't get All-Stars very often, and we don't get a lot of respect very often, but he deserves it. Yeah, I mean, the case for LaMelo Ball, you gave some of his numbers, but he's super inefficient. Yeah. Guy's like a 40% shooter, and even, I mean, 33% from three is bad. He shoots a lot.
What's Cade's shooting percentage?
Higher. It's like 5% higher from the field, yeah. and I think about 5% better from three.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and I think Cade's a better defender.
Yes. And that's the other thing. And the other thing, the reason I think Cade is getting, who got in, is because to a certain extent he's carrying the team. I mean, with Ivy being hurt, you know, yes, you have, you know, Beasley in a lot of games, you know, put up some good numbers, but he's really, especially some of these teams who are, you know, doubling him all the time. They're blitzing him and things yep. like that and making it very difficult for him. So I think that, and the fact that the Pistons are, you know, probably one of the surprise teams in the NBA, definitely the surprise team in the East, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would say so. Yeah, and to your point, I think the last three games where the Pistons have all lost, I think they've really missed Jaden Ivey or any other secondary right. ball handler. It's asking a lot of Cade, and I wonder about, as we go down the stretch here, can they help him out a little bit at the deadline?
Yeah.
I mean, we're under a week until the trade deadline. And I know you can't mortgage a future. They can't even trade their first round pick because it's tied up in a trade. It's owed currently to Minnesota.
Yeah. The only way, I mean, to me, and I don't have any names here, that I would be okay with them doing anything is if they got somebody who's going to be here for a little longer period of time, where I don't want to give up stuff just to get some guy on a half season rental or whatever.
No,
just to make the playoffs. And I feel the same way about the Red Wings too. Although, like I said, hockey, you have a chance once you get in to do something. See, for the Pistons, you know, okay, let's say they make a trade for somebody who's, you know, good, but he's on an expiring deal.
Yeah.
And they make the playoffs. Whether it's the, you know, seven, you know,
or the, even six would
the
be great.
Seed,
yeah.
Right. You know, people are like, okay, yeah, the six seed, yeah, and play Milwaukee in the first round, they'd get drubbed.
Yep. They get eliminated right away.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said for this team getting in the playoffs. I think there's something to be said for Stoney, not currently, but in the next year or two, they're going to have to find Kate a number two.
Yes.
Don't you want to be appealing? I think it's much more appealing if you go, hey, we've been in and Kate had a triple-double in game two of the playoffs, or he had a 35-point night in the NBA playoffs. You go, he's a bona fide. He's an all-star. He's played in the playoffs. You can come be his Robin. I am concerned down the stretch here, especially if they sell. Like, Malik Beasley's a name I don't want to see them trade. I think Beasley has helped Cade get to the next level of his
Correct.
Career. They need to find more guys like Malik Beasley who are going to help Cade get to the next level of his career.
Unless they can get a number one for him.
But what is it? What's the number one? 27th? 28th? I don't need the 28th pick in the draft. I'm keeping Malik Beasley. I'm investing in Cade Cunningham, and I'll pay Beasley in the offseason.
But the NBA draft is turning into right now like the NHL and Major League Baseball. So if you're drafting guys at 27, no, they ain't going to help you in years one and two. But by the time, you never know. It's become so much of a crapshoot now with guys, so many guys entering the NBA draft that aren't ready to play professional basketball.
Cade Cunningham is what, second in the league in assists?
Yeah.
Right around the top of the league. How much of that is that Malik Beasley is one of the best three-point shooters in the league?
Right.
Like, would Cade be an all-star if I took two assists away per game?
No.
So then Malik Beasley has helped make Cade an all-star. So I would hate looking at the face of my franchise who I just gave a max deal to, and I'm going to take one arm and tie it right behind your back down the stretch. We're going to get you double-teamed and blitzed. You're going to have a hard time bringing the ball up the floor. When you do get doubled in the half court, you're one less reliable shooter. I mean, Beasley has made the second most threes in the NBA. He's super attractive for a contender, but I'd be stubborn about it. I don't need your 28th or 29th overall pick.
No.
I need to get in the playoffs with Cade, and I need to put more Beasley players around Cade.
Okay, are you going to get? Is it worth keeping him if they're going to lose him at the end of the year?
Why are they going to lose him at the end of the year?
Because he's a free agent.
Right, but the Pistons can offer him U.S. currency.
I know.
You can even convert it to Canadian if you want. Well, you could do loonies too, I guess. I don't know, whatever he prefers. But my point, like, why can't we keep good players here?
No, I have a lot of cap commitments.
So we got a lot of stars on this team.
I would prefer to keep them as well, but you know, you never know. Somebody might make the call to Trajan Langdon.
But okay,
here's what I. If you're looking to get a really good player. Not just for this year, but maybe for the future a little bit. You might have to take a chance and give up Ivy.
I'm open to it for the right player.
Yes, for the right player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Like, I wouldn't involve him in, like, a C.J. McCollum trade or something.
No,
it had to be a
McCollum's
much better player.
C.J. McCollum's really good, but and he's perfect for this team, except he's old.
Yeah, he's got... This year and next year.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up Ivy in that deal.
No.
You know, I think there's levels to this.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy I'd love is Lauri Markkanen, but I don't know if you're aware of the weird NBA quirks where he can't be traded until the offseason.
Right.
So, but it might work out. The Pistons may give up their first round pick by virtue of finishing high enough in the standings, and then they're freed up to give up firsts to try to find Cade a running mate.
Right.
That's what I just look at. Cade Cunningham's the all-star. That's the headline today.
Right.
And it's our first all-star since Blake Griffin.
Right.
It's our first guard to make the all-star game since Allen Iverson. I don't want to waste the Cade years. We're officially in, the clock's ticking on Cade Cunningham and winning with Cade Cunningham. You have an all-star now.
Mm-hmm.
Long time coming. Don't screw it up.
Well, let me ask you a question. Go back in the Wayback Machine. Do you remember your reaction when you found out that they traded Chauncey for Allen Iverson?
I was in high school at the time.
Okay, well, yeah, but you're still a big fan.
I was bummed. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, especially when you just know it as, that's Mr. Big Shot.
Mm-hmm. I was actually.
I get it a little more now in that they were trying to create cap space
and they re-signed Rashid and do a lot of things. Or not re-sign Rashid. Rashid's contract was up.
Yeah.
So you had Iverson's money. You'd had Rashid's money. You could really do some really good things.
The
and if I'm not mistaken, that brought you Ben Gordon and Charlie V.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's what they did with it, if my memory is correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was because you went through that stage. All right, the Pistons are on the decline. And we have a superstar coming here who decided he didn't want to be a superstar anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it was painful at the time. But we haven't had a building block like Cade Cunningham since who?
Building block?
Yeah.
Since Grant Hill, right?
Right. I was wondering if you're going to go all the way. Yeah, Grant Hill's probably the answer.
I mean,
didn't work
they
out.
Could have had a few. Get out the old app thing,
oh,
you know.
God, but with Halliburton.
Exactly.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Hey, we got Sekou Dembaia. Don't forget that. That was one of the worst draft picks ever.
French phenom, Sekou Dembaia. There's a name people are going, wait, forgot about him.
Yeah, look, it's great that Cade made the All-Star game. It really is. It's, you know, we used to talk about this with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball, a guy from every team makes it.
Yeah. It means more in the NBA to get an All-Star, especially in a league that you win with stars.
Yes, exactly.
You win with stars, and guys, I think you're aware of it if you paid attention at all this season, but now it's cemented. We have one.
We have a star.
We have a star. We have someone to build around, which is why I don't want to see them sell, and I would be looking into shrewd buy territory going into next week.
We have an All-Star on every team.
We do. Mm-hmm. Who's the Red Wing All-Star?
Well, I think Raymond's an all-star.
I think last year.
Or Sider. I mean, I don't mean because there's no all-star game this year.
Yeah. I think DeBrincat last year, though, didn't he make the all-star game 2 years ago?
Yeah, last year.
And Larkin has made all. And they have guys who are all-star caliber. Yes. Lucas Raymond's the best player on the team right now. 248-539-9797. Cade Cunningham named all-star. Coming up next, Stoney, you want a wellness check with Lions fans.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you were on the air was Saturday night after they lost to the Commanders.
Yes.
Emotionally, where are you at? Where are our listeners at? We'll do that next. It's 97.1. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket for a chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. Happy Friday. We have Stoney in today.
Hey, Jim. Heather, I have a question here.
Yeah?
On Sunday, which is February 2nd, which is Groundhog Day.
Yeah?
If the groundhog sees his shadow, do we get the Lions back?
Unfortunately, Stoney. No, we don't.
Damn.
We want to check in with Lions fans today. And I think the perfect vehicle to do it is through your experience. We haven't really heard from you since that Saturday night.
Yes. I was me and Jennifer doing the post game that night. There was a lot of sad, angry, you know, everything ran the gamut. You know, people were thankful for the season, but most of them were upset. There was one person, I believe, was almost near tears calling in. And as we approach the second straight weekend with no Lions game, now obviously there's no game in any football this weekend, I still feel the same way I kind of felt earlier. It's like I'm sad. I was depressed. I thought you could feel the whole city being depressed, kind of reminiscent of when I used to work in Washington and the Redskins would go out early. But that's good in a way because you're sad because you expect it to win, which we never had that feeling before. And that's why for most people, not me, because I still think last year was worse because they were 30 minutes away from getting to the Super Bowl. But the expectations, the buildup for this was so great. They were playing a team everybody thought they would beat, and they didn't, obviously. So in my sports past in Detroit, people might remember that the Robert Horry shot game 5 of the 2005 NBA Finals stuck with me and still does a little bit. But I went through years, decades, where I'm telling you, at least once every 2 weeks, whether it would be sleeping, you know, having a dream about it, in the shower all of a sudden, that play would pop up or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, it just would bother me. And this time, while it's not at that level, I do think about 3rd-and-1 empty a lot. Too much for a sane human being at my age. And that's what's troubling about me. Now, lucky enough that I grew up in Philadelphia where I have another team, they're my B team, my A minus team, whatever. I like if the Lions would have won, I would have rooted for the Lions. Okay, at least I don't have to deal with that. That was one positive of the Lion losing. Okay, but even the next day, you know, when I woke up because I was on the air till 2:30 and doing a podcast, getting home at like 4:30 that Saturday night, getting up watching the Eagles Rams game in the snow, I was like, I wanted them to win, but I whatever. And then last week, watching the NFC Championship game, knowing that my childhood team could go back to the Super Bowl, I watched it kind of emotionless to a certain extent. I mean, like, Barkley had the big run. I went, yeah! But the rest of the game, now granted, it became a blowout late, but I just, you know, and look, I'm all rooting. I want them to win next Sunday. But it's just... I was still sitting there saying the Lions, I'm not even going to say should be there, because when you look at it from a football perspective, they should have beaten Washington because of idiot things like the 3rd-and-1 play. They didn't. But I don't think there was – would you have been more upset losing the way they did or if they got their lunch handed to them at Ford Field by Philly, which I think might have happened because of a variety of reasons – the most obvious one being the defense.
To answer the question, I would have liked to have found out.
Yeah, of course.
And I agree with you. I can call it straight up. Philly was playing better ball than Detroit, especially with the injuries, mm-hmm. and likely loses that game at home. That's a home NFC championship loss.
Right.
That's one step closer to the Super Bowl. That's the biggest home game that they'll ever host. And they likely would have lost. So I understand. I guess we were saved from that.
Yes.
As backwards as that is to put it that way.
Right.
I think your emotions, and we want to know how you guys are feeling about it. I felt some of them just the same as you. I felt very empty.
Yeah.
I felt very numb as we reflect back on it. The Lions filled our cup up every single week,
mm-hmm.
seemingly, right? They won 15 of 17 right. regular season games.
They kept saying, well, they're not going to go 14-1. They're not going to do this. They just kept winning and winning and winning.
And with the injuries, by the way, because now everybody wants to say, well, the injuries would have kept them out. They were winning with the injuries.
Right.
With the injuries, they should have won against the Commanders. They lost by 2 touchdowns at home.
Right.
When you lose that way, it's because of 5 turnovers more than anything else.
Yes.
And you're just left feeling, you tell us. To me, it's empty, it's numb.
Yeah.
It's something that's hard to get over. So are you in the shower thinking of 3rd-and-1, like when you were getting ready today?
Not today, but I've...
Yesterday, maybe?
I'll think about it a lot, because it's one of my principles of football that I have.
Yeah.
That you never go empty on short yardage with a quarterback who's not really mobile. It makes no sense to me. And I know, because... The stats are there. They ran that play like 10 times.
50 is what Campbell said.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as actual short yardage, they ran it a lot and were successful way more than they were failed. Okay. However, what I don't like about it is it has nothing to do with the Lions. It would be any team that doesn't have a real mobile quarterback. It's not a knock on Goff. Why? I have no problem with you passing. Why empty? You're telling the other team, there's two options here. You're either going to run the ball or pass the ball. You're taking away one of the things that they have to guess on.
Yeah.
And that to me makes no sense whatsoever.
So put it this way. No issue with throwing the football.
Right.
Because for the Lions, 3rd-and-1, knowing you can go for it on 4th, and you will go for it on 4th,
yeah.
you can treat it like a lot of teams historically would treat 2nd-and-short, which is shot play territory.
Correct.
But you always keep the threat of the run because it keeps the defense honest. And in that game against that run defense, just do what Philly did. Get up 14-3 leaning on the ground and then force a rookie quarterback on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And help them unravel, nudge them towards unraveling. Instead, the Lions ended up unraveling, starting with that play on 3rd-and-1.
And you know what else was sad about watching the Philly-Washington game was the same scenario, not the same play. 7-3 with the lead, with the ball and driving. And the Lions fumbled, and the Eagles scored.
Yeah.
And that was the difference. And I don't know, it's just, and you may never get back there, and I'm not never, but there's no as... There's no easy way to know if you're going to get back. And just seeing the whole city just depressed.
Deflate, too. I mean, just kind of the air.
Yeah.
Rush out. Like, you were at the game.
Yeah.
I was at the game. I walked out, and no one said, I didn't say a word to anybody. It was a hushed tone, maybe a couple whispers.
Right.
Just this, like, shell-shocked, everybody walking in the streets of Detroit, mm-hmm. down Brush to whatever parking lot or parking garage they were in, realizing that there were no more football games.
Right.
And we were supposed to have one next week.
Yeah.
And some people had plans to be in New Orleans, mm-hmm. or at the very least had made plans for what they were going to be doing on Super Bowl Sunday, a season that should have been so much different. Stoney, wellness check with you in today. Where are you guys at? 248-539-9797. Are you over it yet? Right? That's the question. Are you over it yet? And to an extent, maybe you're never going to be over
it. No.
I am curious, after the update, is Colin still sulking? Is the Lions gear still in the closet? Is he wearing any of it? We'll get to that coming up next. More of your phone calls. It's 97.1.